A reading from the Gospel of Mark. Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his native place, and among his own kin, and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. The Gospel of the Lord. What if we pick up this gospel passage and transplant it from the first century into the 21st century? Imagine, after all of his travels and his miracles and the successes of his preaching, Jesus comes home. He brings his friends to his native place. Imagine, Jesus comes to his July 4th weekend family reunion. Out of the Metro Park, he smells the brat sizzling on the charcoal grill. He hears the crack of the baseball bat out in the field. He watches the older aunts and uncles unfold their blue and green camp chairs into a circle in the grass. The swallows dance overhead. It is sunny and warm. And then Jesus walks by. And as Jesus walks by, the chatter begins. "Isn't that Jesus the carpenter? I hear he's causing a lot of trouble in Jerusalem. Who does he think that he is? Do you know, he walked out and left his mother. How dare he do that? My Judas would never do that. Wow, my golly, why did he bring so many of his friends? I hope we have enough burgers for them all. They may have to be happy with hot dogs. Where does this man get all this? Yeah, how about him getting a haircut and a real job?" They are not speaking softly, and Jesus can't help but hear that they've taken offense at him. And if we were to keep the story in the modern day, it is as though Jesus has been honored in New York. It is as though Jesus has been celebrated in Los Angeles. It is as though Jesus has been revered in Toronto. But out here at the Metro Park, among the brats and the beer and the baseball bats, Jesus is not honored in his own native place. Jesus is not approved by his own relatives. Jesus is not valued by those who have known him the longest. The birds may flit about and dance lightly over his head, but the walking on the earth feels heavy. It doesn't say in the reading, but do you think Jesus was hurt? He was not able to perform any mighty deeds there. Here, in the thick of family relationships, the powerful preacher is powerless. Family bonds are good. Close relationships can also be messy. A couple of weeks ago, I was in the checkout line at the grocery store. A man in his early 40s stepped into the line behind me. He held 4 I Love You helium balloons in his right hand, and he held 12 red roses in his left hand. The cashier began to joke with him, "Wow, look at those roses. Are you about to pop the big question?" The man didn't say anything. The cashier behind me chimed in, "12 red roses. She must really be something." "Maybe it's her birthday," said the bagger. The man still kept his eyes down, and he said nothing. The cashiers and the baggers laughed and chuckled. The 4 I Love You balloons danced lightly above his head, but the man himself seemed totally down in the dumps. I turned to him, and I said softly, "Maybe it was a really huge fight?" He looked up, and his eyes met mine for a brief second. Those 2 dark eyes were miserable with despair and powerlessness. He nodded his head and said nothing. As I walked out into the parking lot, I wondered, wow, what kind of a mess did he get himself into that he needs 12 red roses to mend it? Will 4 dancing I Love You helium balloons help her to forgive him? I wonder. Why do broken bonds affect us so deeply? Why do relationships matter so much? Whether those relationships are in our biological family or in our religious community or in our church family, there is nothing quite like family conflict to render us powerless. We can run away from it, but it doesn't run away from us. From today's gospel reading, it seems that even Jesus wasn't immune to family difficulties. In Christian faith, we believe in a triune God who is relational by nature. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are bound together in what the early church fathers described with the Greek word perichoresis. Perichoresis is an ever-moving dance of in and out and back and forth and giving and receiving. Our God is not static and still. We believe in a God of motion, a God who is continually interacting, a God who interacts with us and also relationally moves within God's very self. St. Augustine describes the Father as lover, the Son as beloved, and the Holy Spirit as love, in a dynamic dance of relational call and response. And so if we are made in God's image and likeness, relationships are at the core of who we are and what we do also. We are not created to stand by ourselves against the wall. We are called to join in the dance of life together. Yet, I have never met anybody who doesn't have some relationship that bogs them down. If we are to join in the dance of life together, there may be days when we feel powerless to keep on dancing. On this family reunion Sunday, how do we bring the helium of the Holy Spirit into broken bonds? Today's gospel reading doesn't really help us, for it doesn't tell us what Jesus did with those family members. But we may find some help in today's reading from Corinthians. Some scripture scholars suggest that St. Paul's thorn in the flesh might also be a relational difficulty, like a sense of powerlessness about one of his communities, or a broken friendship, or perhaps some family difficulty. Whatever the thorn in the flesh is, the pain of it just won't go away. But in prayer, God gives St. Paul an answer. He says, "My power is made perfect in weakness." Power in weakness. Nothing can make us feel so weak as relationships. That's okay if it leads us to pray. At the same time, nothing can make us feel so strong as when family and friends move forward with us in solidarity. We are imperfect and broken people. We are the ragtag army of the Lord, yet we keep on going. We stay in the dance. When I used to coach volleyball, I would tell my players, "Get out on the floor. Give it your best." In spite of our weakness, we can hand someone the helium balloon of reconciliation. We can share a hamburger with someone who takes offense at us. We can dance with the Holy Spirit day by day in the little ordinary ways of life. The power of Jesus Christ will flow through us, and the world will change because of us. So let us pray for that together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are the one God of never-stopping love. Our eyes are fixed on you, and we plead for your mercy. In our powerlessness, we come to you for strength. In our places of brokenness, we ask for your healing. In our emptiness, we beg for your fullness. And as we move from this moment of quiet reflection back into the messily beautiful world of relationships, lift us higher. Spirit of God, like you did for Ezekiel, set us on our feet and send us out. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.